Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this latest cabinet of Stafford Borough Council. We'll go straight to the agenda. Minutes of the 20th of February 2025 are circulated and published on the 21st of February 2025. Is everyone happy that I signed the minutes?
Aye.
Thank you. Item two is apologies.
None tonight, leader.
Thank you very much. Item number three is councillor question time.
There are nil.
Thank you very much. And agenda item number four, a proposals of cabinet members. And the first one, A, is the corporate plan. This is an extremely important document, and it's come to the end of its long. Proving it's been proved to this cabinet as cabinet's satisfaction. So tonight the recommendations is that the cabinet are asked to recommend to council the approval of the corporate plan 2025-26 to 2027-28 and the outline priority delivery plans for the same dates. The adoption of a corporate plan provides clarity in what the council is seeking to achieve and allows for a framework to be put into place to deliver this and for a performance to be reported against it. The process of producing a new corporate plan will determine the council's priorities for the next 3 years. The four overarching priorities are proposed, which focus on the economy of the borough, the health and well-being of residents, climate change and our environment, and being an effective council. There, of course, was a consultation exercise, and you can find the results of that in Appendix 3. I know you've all read this report. I know you've all been through it, and it's been here several times, as I've mentioned before. So I would ask if anybody else has any comments before we move on. Any comments on it? Councillor Lee.
I think this is excellent. This is a really good set of priorities that will take our community and our economy through the next few years, as far as the prosperous economy section is concerned. I particularly like page 13. There's a paragraph there, the second paragraph, which talks about how we're going to work in partnership to support our local businesses. We need to grow our businesses in our main towns and also the rural areas, the key service villages. A lot of our economy in this borough isn't just town centre and high street. It is across varying sizes of settlements. I just really value and thank the various people that have crafted the words here to make sure that we've got that support in among our priorities. Second point is how we will deliver this, item five. Practically every single word in that item five is really important. Identifying the services, the sites, the good infrastructure, the land for employment, we need to protect those green spaces. We need to make sure that the impact of climate change is taken into account. That number five is a really action-packed priority objective. I just love it. So thank you very much for everyone that made sure we got the word in there.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Anybody else in the comments? Yep. Councillor Kenny.
It highlights our intention for the investment in the borough, especially in the Stafford Town Centre.
Oh, thank you for that. Anybody else? Councillor Pearce.
Just to welcome the fact that climate change and nature recovery is a prominent feature of the plan, and also that within it there are a series of actions to be taken within this coming year, which I look forward to seeing implemented.
That's great, thank you very much. Now what I'd like to do is thank Judith, who's put a lot of work into this, and all the officers who've actually put the work into it as well. We know what's gone into it. We know it's been backwards and forwards to us over the last few months. So it's a great document. Thank you very much for all the hard work that's been put into this. And yes, I look forward to asking the council to accept it in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you. We move on. B, resources portfolio, value for money, progress report, quarter three. Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Neil. Well, the purpose of this report was to advise members on the progress and the delivery of the Value for Money Improvement Plan at the end of quarter 3, 24-25. And Cabinet has recommended to note the progress at the end of quarter 3 in the delivery of the VFM Improvement Plan as set out in Appendix 1. Sections 3 and 5 of the report include background information and reasons for the PFM Improvement Plan. But Table 1 in paragraph 5.4 shows that at the end of quarter 3 of 24-25, of the 26 actions planned for delivery, 21, that's 80%, have been completed or are in progress. 4, 16%, are behind schedule, and 1 is no longer applicable. Steady progress continues to be made in completing the actions in the improvement plan. All but one of the actions from quarter 4, 23-24, to quarter 2, 24-25, have now been completed. The action outstanding concerns the recruitment of finance staff, which was initially unsuccessful. But recruitment has started for two other posts, and shortlisting was in progress when this was written, but now offers are being made to both those candidates. So we've got a very positive conclusion going on there. It's intended to complete the improvement plan by the end of 25-26, and I ask Cabinet to agree the recommendation.
Any comments? Accept the recommendation. Thank you very much. We'll move on. And the next one is quarter three performance report 24-25.
Thank you, Linda. The purpose of this report is to advise Cabinet on progress in delivering the Council's priorities and performance at the end of quarter three for 24-25. I recommend that Cabinet notes the progress made during quarter three in delivery of the Council's priorities and performance as set out in Appendices 1 and 2. Looking at Table 1, at the end of quarter 3, of the 45 projects stroke actions due for delivery, 34, that's 76%, have been completed or are on target to be completed, and 11, 24%, are behind schedule or no longer applicable. The priority delivery plan set out in Appendices 1A to 1D summarise performance and the reasons for any slippage together with actions to recover ground. Turning to key performance indicators, KPIs, which are set out in Table 2, of the 25 indicators due to be reported on in Quarter 3, 76%, that's 19 KPIs, show performance on or above target, and 21%, that's 6, show performance below target. Again, Appendix 2 gives more details about the actions and reasons for slippage. I ask that Cabinet notes the progress made.
Thank you very much, Councillor Cook. Any comments? Okay, we move on. Committee cycle 25-26. Councillor Cook again.
Yeah, we have the committee cycle 25-26, and that's been produced based on the current committee structure with a similar structure to 2024-25. It also provides for the process leading to the 26-27 budget. Once again, timing of the scrutiny committees has been arranged to coincide with the production of performance and budgetary information. This means that the scrutiny committees can look at information which is more current with a view to taking timely action where necessary. The suggested committee cycle for 25-26 is attached as an appendix, and the recommendation is that the committee cycle for 2025-26 has submitted to be approved.
Okay, we're happy with that. We move on. Thank you, Councillor Cook. And we go on to Rebs and Ben's collection report, quarter three. Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Leader. This report is to inform Cabinet of the performance of the Revenues and Benefits Service with regard to the collection of council tax, business rates, and the recovery of overpaid housing benefit during the first three quarters of the 24-25 financial year, and to seek approval for writing off the arrears listed in the confidential appendices. Paragraph 2.1 gives reasons for the report being not for publication. For the headline figures, first of all, council tax due for the 24-25 year amounts to £105.3 million of which some 83.1% was collected by the end of December. This is, by coincidence, exactly the same as last year's performance in the same period, which was 83.1%. But do remember, again, this council retains only about 10% of the council tax collected. Business rates for the current year amount to £55.9 million, of which some 83% was collected by the end of December, showing a slight decrease on the previous year, which was 83.8%. Officers will work hard to reverse this dip in the last quarter of the year, and the latest information I have is that things are improving now. The report, I'll skip those ones, and go on to the irrecoverable council taxes. Pleasing to note, there are no irrecoverable council tax debts listed in the confidential appendix. However, there are four irrecoverable business rates debt in the sum of £86,625.34 listed in the confidential appendix. Turning to housing benefit overpayments, well, the headline figure is that some £321,000 was recovered of overpaid housing benefits in the first three quarters of the financial year, and that there are no irrecoverable benefit overpayment debts in the confidential appendix. So, good news. I ask Cabinet to note the information regarding collection and to agree to write off the arrears in the confidential appendices.
Thank you, Councillor Cook. Any comments? We move on. Thank you very much, Councillor Cook. C, Economic Development and Planning Portfolio. It's the MPPF framework and New Local Plan Next Steps. Councillor Reid.
Thank you, Leader. This is a quite a momentous decision that we're making here, so I want to make sure that we fully understand what we're doing. We are restarting the local plan process for some very good reasons that are outlined in Section 3. The key issues there, one of them in 3.1.3.2 is that the feedback we got from the preferred options was of high quality. There was a lot of very good detailed information in there which led our officers to take a look at the evidence, take a look at what we need to do, and to reevaluate the plans that were put forward in the preferred options. And then 3.3, beyond the control of our local people, are a number of very big changes in government policy around local plans and the planning process. These have led us to the point where we wish to restart our local plan. That's what we're outlining here. A couple of other sections that are important to highlight. 5.32, if you want to take a look at that. 5.32 outlines the new process, which is a streamlined and optimistic approach to coming up with a new plan, which has got a 4-month notice period before we start the plan, and then a 30-month process to go from what they call Gateway 1 through to finalisation and adoption of a plan. It's important to note that the plan that we will be coming up with is a plan that meets the government targets for the real housing need in our area. Real housing need was outlined in 5.26. Want to take a look at that. So the plan period says 826 dwellings per year. That is an increase on what the preferred options had said. Preferred options had a position that was around about 65% of this new number. So again, we need to collect the evidence, we need to collect the data around the appropriate location so that we make sure that we are approving the right houses and employment for the right people and businesses in the right places, and to make sure that there is the right evidence that supports the infrastructure that will be needed to ensure that settlements and the economy are well supported. 6.1 is another section that's important here, so that's the financial impact of this. Do note that this is spread across 3 years. The bulk of it is in this coming year, and that is so that we meet that Gateway 1 very efficiently. We need to collect the evidence, we need to make sure that any decisions that we're making are reasoned, are evidence-based, and that stand up to scrutiny by inspectors. 6.4 talks about the risk. This is vital. We need to take account of the fact that the preferred options document that we had versus the new proposal that we're doing has a different risk base. We must minimise the risk of inadequate housing or unsupported housing decisions by coming up with a robust local plan. That is the focus here. The other important section here is 6.7, climate change. We must make sure that our new local plan has got policy-specific improvements that defend the climate that we've got, the landscape that we've got, and enhance where necessary and where appropriate. So with that said, I commend this for decision by Cabinet. And any questions?
Councillor Reid, Councillor Kenny?
I just think it's important to say that we were at Reg 18, and that even if we had a progress to Reg 19, that our numbers weren't sufficient. We've been at 80%, not to reach that threshold, and we would have been able to carry on going. And also to say that those districts that are actually carrying on with their plan and will be doing it under the old rules, even when it's gone through examination and they've adopted that plan, they will have to go into immediate review of those numbers, those that aren't touching any of their targets.
Absolutely. The councillor is absolutely right there. It's not just when they have their local plan approved. They are liable for those housing numbers all the way through the process as well, so they will need to catch up straight away. Those housing numbers are the real housing need for their communities in their area. And a local plan is designed to show how those housing numbers will be met. So if your local plan doesn't do that, it will need to be revised straight away. We're going to get it right the first time. One correction draw your attention to is that the dates, table 1, this is page 131, the dates and the 30-month plan in 532, these are indicative. We will revise these as necessary as we can clarify as we go through. So just to be aware that these dates are currently what we're planning, and we'll come back as we get closer to these dates to clarify the detail.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Councillor Pearce.
I think it's well known that the decision of the government to massively increase the number of housing sites that have to be made available has posed problems not just for us but for councils throughout the country, and there are doubts as to whether the strategy is correct anyway, whether it will achieve the right results, but I have to accept that we have to go through this process and ensure that whatever we do decide on has proper consultation with residents, that we seek their views and take them into account in whatever decisions we make.
Absolutely. We could spend a long time talking about how we got to where we are. No government has met its housing targets for many years, and that is why we're in the national crisis we're in at the moment. As you say, we've been given this figure. This figure is what we need to demonstrate that we can deliver to. We need to pick the right locations, the right places, for the right houses, for the right mix of people, so that we have sustained economies, sustainable economies, sustainable communities, for the next 20, 50, 100 years.
Thank you, Phil. Happy with that, Councillor Bruce? No. Anybody else? Does that recommendation move on?
Yes.
Good. Right, the final item tonight, community portfolio, which is the homelessness and rough sleeper strategy, 25-30. Councillor Hood.
The purpose of this report is to request approval for the adoption of the homelessness and rough sleeper strategy. Council has a statutory duty to produce a homelessness strategy every 5 years based on full evidence review. Cabinet has been asked to approve the strategy, which will address the challenges identified and shape the work of the team and partners between 2025 and 2030. Since the previous strategy, demand on housing options has increased by 120%, which has resulted in an increase in demand on emergency accommodation. despite increasing the number of emergency accommodation units, bed and breakfast costs have increased significantly. There's also been an increase in the complexity of need of those approaching the housing options for assistance, with 71% of households approaching with a support need. The homeless strategy balances the requirement to respond to immediate need whilst looking upstream at wider systems to prevent households experiencing homelessness. The six priorities, which are as follows, are one, upstream prevention, designing out homelessness. Two, empowerment, the start of co-production. Three, rough sleeper pathway, ending rough sleeping. Four, robust partnerships. Five, expanding housing options. And six, sustainment. We cannot end homelessness alone, but other organisations play varying roles, and we won't be able to make sustainable change without working together. Homelessness is individual to household experiencing it. To address the underlying causes of homelessness, we need to address wider social, health and economic factors. By addressing these wider needs, we have the best opportunity to support households facing homelessness into sustainable accommodation. I'd like to thank Anna Nevin and her team, and especially Hayley Smith, for her very detailed report in helping us understand the complexities of those who have found themselves to be homeless and sleeping rough, many of them suffering from addiction and poor mental health. The recommendations are to the Cabinet to approve the Homelessness and Rough Sleeper Strategy 2025-2030, and to note the content of the evidence review, which sets out the challenges impacting homelessness and rough sleeping in Stafford Borough. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Councillor Hood. Any questions or comments? Councillor Pearce.
I'd just like to add my congratulations, because I think as a council we do extremely well compared with many in terms of the way we deal with rough sleeping and homelessness. One of the figures that jumped out at me was the fact that one in three of applicants presenting as homeless are in employment. It's not people who are down and out, they are obviously in great need, but also people who are trying to hold down jobs and at the same time facing the prospect of homelessness. And I think, as I say, we do extremely well on this front, and the team deserves congratulations.
Yes, very much so.
I'd like to come back on that. We saw years of austerity, and it really did affect people who thought they were very secure, they had good jobs, lots of credit, got themselves into lots of debt, and then suddenly here we are where they're losing their houses and almost everything that is precious to them. And we see them on the streets, and it actually points out in the report that for some of them, they find themselves homeless because they thought that they could sleep with relatives, stay with relatives and friends, and then it becomes no longer viable and it breaks down and they find themselves on the streets. And it really is true, isn't it, that we're one paycheck away from being homeless. So, yeah, it's
absolutely
very, very true. Thank you, Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Hood. Anybody else in the comments or... Is that a recommendation?
Okay.
That's good. And that ends tonight's meeting. Thank you very much for attending, everybody. Thank you.